Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Philip Nolman, as I promised you earlier in the hour, is our special guest this hour. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's a highly acclaimed, award-winning author, advertising, and marketing executive. He's the founder of his own firm, FDN&P Marketing, a leading advertising and marketing company boasting clients which include international manufacturers, service industries, retail and consumer products firms, as well as distributors in the U.S. and abroad. He's the author of the outstanding book that I'm holding in my hand called Startup Marketing. We've talked about this before. And he's also a leader in the launch of several publications, including Working Mother Magazine, which we've covered on this show before with one of their senior publishers. Phil, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Pleasure to be with you.
It's a pleasure to have you back, and as always, and I continue to get more and more out of your book. We've talked about, you've been on the show a couple of times now talking about startup marketing and how to help my audience with our small business owners and dreamers with the marketing of their business. Marketing is something that sort of, I think, in small business, marketing is the one area that gets short shrift from small business, and it's because most of us don't understand how to market, and it doesn't take a lot of budget to market, but it does take some time to do marketing, and typically small business owners don't have very much of either one of those to go around, and so that's the reason why I like to talk about marketing as much as we can with the experts like Phil Nolman. Phil, in chapter 11 is a very intriguing chapter to me, and it's about the passion principles, what you call the passion principles, unbridling your creativity. You want to take a second and give us a little bit of a idea about why this chapter's in here?
Oh, sure. A lot of the issues of marketing are nuts and bolts issues, and small business owners are interested in how to write an ad, create a brochure, deal with the media, which media to choose. And a great deal of the book, of course, addresses the nuts and bolts issues, the practical issues. But the passion principles really is the other side of marketing. It's putting the passion you have for your business into play, communicating to your marketplace in a new and unique fashion what it is that you offer that the rest of the communities of like services cannot offer. And it's really the essence of the creative side of marketing. It's making the kind of heat that you need to make and the noise you need to make to be heard and seen.
One of the reasons I like this chapter is because marketing for small business needs to be as simple as possible. It needs to be as untime-consuming as possible. We need to try to take advantage of whatever we can do to conduct marketing in our small businesses without having to spend a lot of money, without having to take a lot of time. And there are a lot of things in this chapter, a lot of tips in this chapter that really don't require a lot of time. You can sort of do them as you go through your life, as you conduct the daily activities of your business. And it's one of the things I like about your book, Phil, is that you continue to talk about things that are not complicated about marketing. You mentioned a lot of people probably don't realize that when they create a brochure that they are doing marketing.
That's right.
And so there are a lot of things that people do in the life of their business that are marketing, and they just don't realize it. And if they could learn about that, if they could identify some of these steps, some of these things that they do, and identify them as marketing, maybe they would take a little more time and pay a little bit more attention to it. The first principle is what you call the four A's: acknowledgement, achievement, accomplishment, and admiration. Now, if you started talking to somebody about marketing and all of a sudden you just read those four words, somebody would probably say, what does either one of those have to do with marketing?
Sure. But, you know, as you've said, almost everything you do in your daily life that speaks to your business or communicates the benefits of your business is marketing.
Mm-hmm.
From writing a letter to making a phone call to shaking hands on the street and acknowledging the customer.
Handing out a business card,
exactly. And even the way you treat your employees, your suppliers. Everything about the way you behave in your business life is part of your marketing program.
Whatever you do that reflects on your company at all.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And the idea that marketing, like insurance, is a necessary evil is really an erroneous assumption. It should be the most fun you have in business. It's the entertainment portion of your business.
Well, you ask these questions in your chapter. How do you acknowledge excellence? Mm-hmm. How do you mark achievement? How do you recognize accomplishment? When do you communicate admiration?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what we're saying here is that we have to recognize the customer, acknowledge the customer. We certainly have to create an environment of acknowledgement so that the customer feels special by virtue of the way we treat them. And we often don't realize that simple things that create recognition are the most memorable to the customer. It's a critical issue.
And many of those things are little things that you or your employees can do for the customer that can take 2 seconds, and maybe it's just a few words that cost us nothing, but it makes a lasting impression, doesn't it?
It does. And it's why the database marketing system is so powerful in small business today. It's remembering the birthday mm-hmm. or the anniversary.
Right.
The simple things that the customers respond to. This is the power of marketing. I have a story that I love to tell because it was a jewelry company, very high end and a successful business, small business, and they did a survey with a company as to what the most essential issues were for the customer, and of all the issues, the brands, the Rolex, the watches, the jewelry, the most essential issue were the chocolate truffles that they were offered during their stay.
Not the expensive products, but the chocolate truffles.
That's right.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a good story. Phil, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Philip Nolman is our special guest. He's the author of the outstanding book, Startup Marketing. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's a beautiful morning.
Back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. And Phil Nolman is our special guest. He's the author of Startup Marketing, an Entrepreneur's Guide to Advertising, Marketing, Promoting Your Business. Folks, you know that I like to introduce to you books that I consider to be good resource documents for your small business. And when I say a resource document, I've introduced you to a lot of books in the last almost couple of years. But there are a handful that I have identified as resource documents. And these are books that I think not only should you buy them, but you should put these should be the ones that are between the book ends on top of your desk next to your computer, where without getting out of your chair, you can reach over and get it and go to the places that you've already dog-eared or bookmarked or whatever, because they have the kind of information that you probably ought to be using at least every week, if not every day. And this is one of those books, Startup Marketing, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Advertising, Marketing, and Promoting Your Business by Phil Nolman. Phil, tell the audience where they can get it.
Oh, the book is available in bookstores throughout North America, on the web, of course, at barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. And the publisher can be reached at 1-800-CAREER1.
All right. Thanks, Phil. We were talking, folks, about passion principles that are in Chapter 11 of Phil's book, and this is an excellent chapter, and it's one of my favorites in the book. And one of the things that we were talking about a minute ago, Phil, is that whatever we and or our employees do reflects on our company. And therefore, we have good marketing if things reflect positively, or we have bad marketing if they reflect negatively. And you know, but you know, there's another level, and that's just sort of so-so reflection. And that's almost, in today's world where things are so competitive, that's almost as bad as bad marketing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You've got to wow the customer, don't you?
Yeah. Today, I mean, the cliche, really, or the adage is that satisfies customers will look elsewhere, and delighted customers will send others to you. So it's no longer a question of taking care of their needs. It's a question of exceeding their needs. And Tom Peters said it beautifully in his book, The Pursuit of Wow, where he's explaining the same principle, that we really do, as you said, Jim, have to wow the customer.
Well, that's the reason why I like your use of the word passion. If I used to say a long time ago, and I still believe this, if at least once a month somebody doesn't say to me that they really like or they really admire the way I get excited about what I'm doing or whatever, if at least once a month somebody doesn't say that to me, I feel like I'm losing it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm losing the edge. And if you're in business out there for yourself, if you're a commissioned salesperson, and or whatever you're doing for a company as an employee or as an owner, if somebody doesn't make some comment at least once a month about the way you conduct yourself, and it's a positive comment, then you need to look at yourself and pay attention to how you're conducting your business. One of the things that you point out in here that I think is really important, Phil, is you say that our employees are our customers. This word customer is really being defined more specifically and I think more productively than ever before.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think most business owners understand that they need to market to their employees in order to get their employees excited and passionate about the product or service.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires really the same kind of treatment that you give your customer to excite them, because the biggest advocate you have and the biggest ambassador you have to your community of customers are your employees. And again, the American Society for Quality Control a year or so ago issued a survey, and they said the number one reason why your customers will leave you is indifference on the part of one of your employees toward them.
Absolutely. I like the words, I'm going back to some of the statements that you made earlier in the chapter. And folks, as far as your employees are concerned, according to Phil, and this is out of chapter 11, acknowledge excellence, mark achievement, recognize accomplishment, communicate admiration. If you'll do all four of those things to these other customers that you have, which are your employees, you probably will see a real significant improvement in your business.
That's right.
What'd you think, Phil?
Absolutely.
All right, stand by, Phil. We've got to take a quick break, folks. It's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're talking about passion principles in your business as a way of marketing your business with Phil Nelman. He's the man who knows all about this. He's the author of Startup Marketing. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. It's 29 after the hour. We are back. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're joining us today. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Phil Nelman is our special guest. He's the author of the outstanding book that I'm holding in my hand, Startup Marketing, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Advertising, Marketing, and Promoting Your Business. He's also the author of 303 Marketing Tips Guaranteed to Boost Your Business. I also have a copy of that, folks. It is outstanding as well. And Phil, you've got a brand new book coming out. You want to say something about that for a minute?
Thank you. Yeah, in the fall, Just Say Yes, which is a book on extreme customer service, will be in the stores. And it's also written from a passionate point of view about not only getting customers but keeping them forever.
Yeah. Getting them is not nearly as hard as keeping them, is it?
That's true. We can always entice people to try our product or service through a variety of means, but making them part of our community and our culture is far more difficult.
The natural curiosity of the human being will get them in your door.
Right.
We're all like that. Hey, there's a new restaurant. Let's go try them.
Right.
Let's see how that new store is. Or you know, one lady will say to another, "Hey, there's a new store in town. Let's go see what they have," or whatever it might be, because we have this natural curiosity.
Right.
But that's as far as it goes when it comes to loyalty, isn't it?
That's as far as it goes, and there's very little loyalty unless we do something extreme.
And you have promised, haven't you, to make sure that we get one of the first copies of your new book, Just Say Yes, which is coming out in the fall, right?
That's correct.
And to join us again to talk to us about it when it comes out.
Be delighted.
Give us the website for your company, FDNNP.
Okay. The website can be reached by FDNP.com.
All right.
And I can be reached at pnullman@fdnp.com. FDNP without any
right
between it.
FDNP.com. All
right.
Let's move on over and talk about passion principle number two, the power of possession.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Well, what we're talking about basically is shifting the power from the seller to the buyer and giving the buyer the authority and the power to make the decision, making the buyer feel good about controlling the situation in which they are buying the product from you. So we really want to give a sense of control to the buyer. We want to give them a sense of authority. The simple example is when the car dealer hands the keys to the prospective customer
and says, take it home with you.
Take it home with you. Try it. There's no obligation. If you like it, bring it back and we'll finish the deal. So it's really a sense of authority and what we call the power of possession.
Us old grizzled old salesmen call that the puppy dog close.
Exactly.
Let them take it home. You know that, and you're right. Car dealers do this very well.
Yeah.
They give you the, I mean, I can remember the first time a car dealer said, take the keys, take it home with you, and put it in your garage, and then, you know, give me a call in the morning. Let me know what you want to do.
Right. Exactly.
So you get to wake up looking at it in the morning.
That's right. That's right. And you already start to assume a sense of ownership.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. You're allowed to participate in this thing, and it really makes a difference. But so power of possession is another great principle. How do we incorporate marketing into that?
Well, I think there are a variety of things that we can do by giving the customer, again, this authority to use and experience the product. We then incorporate the benefits and features of that product into the sale. So we're giving them the product to try. We're giving them the reason the product is better than the other products out there. So it's almost a complete marketing experience for the customer. And it works very well, and it's done in every industry. Where the close of the sale is seemingly going to be difficult, you just give the entire authority to experience the product to the customer, and in a sense, it markets itself from that point forward.
You remind us in the book that possession is, as we've all heard in our lives, possession is 9/10 of the law.
Right.
So if that's true, then possession, in the way we're talking about it, could be 9/10 of the sale.
That's right. Exactly right. It's well put.
Let's move on and talk about passion principle number three, and I really like this one a lot. Folks, this may be the most important of all the principles, and that is creating quality experiences.
Yes.
Now, this goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, and that is it's not so hard to get them to come in your business, but it's a lot harder to get them to come back. And the way you get them to come back is by creating quality experiences.
Yeah, and the quality experience is ultimately probably the most powerful selling proposition. And I reference a Japanese author who talks about the incredible power of cooperation,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that we're looking to cooperate with the customer, and we're looking to unify between ourselves and the customer. And in Disney's case, and it's a great example of this issue. Disney's four disciplines are safety, courtesy, entertaining, and efficiency.
Well, see what you're saying here is that they have a plan for making sure that they created quality experiences, and that's what you want to do in your business is have a plan for creating that. And when we come back, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. We're going to find out how you can do that in your business. Now, take a quick break. It's 39 after the hour. We're going to be right back with our good friend Phil Nullman. Stay with us. All right, we're back. Thank you for joining us. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and Phil Noman is our good friend and our special guest, the author of Startup Marketing, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Marketing and Promoting Your Business. It's available online. It's available in bookstores. And you have a publisher's number also, Phil, don't you?
Yes, it's 1-800-CAREER1.
Can they buy it at your website?
They cannot.
Okay.
They can only buy it through the publisher's website.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure about that. Phil, we're talking about passion principles. And folks, the one we're on right now is the one that I think is absolutely the best of the group, and that's creating quality experiences. And one of the things that I believe, and I know you do, Phil, is that if you don't do anything about this, if you don't plan for creating quality experiences, that you will likely have the opposite of a quality experience, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. But right now what I want to talk about is I want to refer back to what you said as we were taking a break, and that was the four principles, the four disciplines, I should say, that Disney plans to put into place to make sure you have a quality experience when you visit any of their properties go on any of their properties, I guess. And that is safety, courtesy, entertainment, and efficiency.
Right.
Now that doesn't sound like a lot of real powerful words there. I mean, you sort of think, well, heck, I expect those to happen. But guess what? If you don't have either one of those, or if you don't have the right combination of those, you're not going to come back, are you?
No, you're not. And they're, you know, so rigorous in training everybody associated with their organizations, so that when they deal with the issue of safety, it's a profound principle. Courtesy, of course, is just, it's a given when you're in a property owned by Disney. The fact is that the sales training, so to speak, is intensive. They're in the entertainment business, so you're going to be entertained in a more interesting way than most other companies. And the efficiency issue is simply that both from an economic standpoint and an ease, convenience standpoint, you're going to have an experience that is pure pleasure. But they live this every day. They breathe it. They institute it into every aspect of training. So when people arrive on the job in the morning, they're reviewing these principles before they go out and meet the public.
One of the things that you point out in this chapter, and I think it's excellent, I think it's so perfectly to the point in this subject, and that is, you say, remember that you are a customer as well during any given day, and how do you like to be treated? What do you like to, what experiences do you like? And imagine that you are a customer when you're coming into your own business. How does that feel to you? And, you know, one of the things that I do, I was just, as we were talking about this, I was reminding myself of what I do whenever I go do public speaking. I literally go sit in, I set up the room, the forward part of the room where I'm going to be, the podium, and if I'm using overheads or whatever, I set all that up and I actually turn the overhead on and put something on the overhead up on the screen, and I go sit in every part, if not every seat of the room, and make sure that wherever you are in that room that you can see what I'm showing and that it's comfortable for you. And I want to make sure, because what I know is I want my audience to never feel any kind of being uncomfortable, because I want them to walk out not having thought about that part of it at all.
That's the kind of behavior that does create the quality experience. And you have to ask yourself when you're in any given situation, if I were on the opposite side of the counter, how would I feel? You know, what could be done that's possibly going to make this experience better for me? Is this transaction making me feel significant and important? And what makes this experience a positive one? And that's what you're talking about. It's viewing from the other side, so that the seller becomes the buyer and recognizes the effect of his or her behavior on the buyer.
Well, if you don't do that, folks, there is a plan that will happen that you didn't plan on, and that is you'll deliver something that you did not plan on delivering, and that is either indifference at a minimum, and negativity as being the worst. You've got a quality experience checklist here, Phil, that I'd like to talk about for a minute. Number one, do you review your product or service relative to continuing improvement? Mm-hmm. That's an excellent one. Number two, do you give your customers enough information to fully benefit from the product? Folks, this is fairly long. This is about 10 items here. So come up with your own quality experience checklist to make sure that your customers not only come to see you, but that they come back. Phil, let's move on and talk about another one of your passion principles. And the next one is the Peter Pan principle. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, I was always fascinated by the concept of a character who stays fresh and young and naive.
I will never grow up.
Never grow up. And so the Peter principle, which was the subject of a book many years ago about mm-hmm. people rising to their own level of incompetence, has been replaced here by the Peter Pan principle, which really talks about the fact that we have to stay fresh and to some degree innocent and clean in our thinking about marketing and selling, so that we are the most creative business in the marketplace.
Stand by, Phil. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about another passion principle. Keep your competitors behind you. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Phil Nelman is our special guest, and we'll be right back. All right, we're back. We've got our motor running with Phil Nelman, the author of Startup Marketing, an Entrepreneur's Guide to Marketing and Promoting Your Business. It's available in bookstores. It's available online, and I recommend it to you folks as an outstanding resource for your small business. And we're talking about passion principles. And these are things, folks, that won't really, if you think about it, Phil, I don't think we've mentioned the word cost in any of these yet, have we?
No,
there really isn't any cost, is it? Other than maybe hiring some training for your customers or something like that. I mean, for your employees.
That's right.
Like that.
These are the simple, but really powerful things that we can do without a large checkbook.
If you are saying to yourself lately, you know, I don't have the time or the money to market. Well, maybe. You know, you ought to look at some of these things, because these are things that won't cost you anything. And if you say you don't have the time to do it, guess what? If you have the time to do things wrong, you also have the time to do things correctly.
That's
and
right.
And if your employees are not saying, thank you for the business, Mr. Jones, we really appreciate you coming in, Mr. Smith, or whatever. If you're not saying those things, then you're saying nothing, and or something else like have a good day, which I think is not a good replacement for thank you for the business. And so make sure that you're taking advantage of some of these marketing tips that cost you really nothing and could really make a difference in success or failure. Let's talk about one last one, Phil, as we wrap up the hour. KCBY, keep your competitors behind you.
Right. One of the things that I think is a lot of fun for small businesses, and it's very effective, is to deal with the issue of staying ahead of the competition. And what I ask small business owners to do is to look at a meeting either once a week or once every couple of weeks, and we call it ROCK, R-O-C-K, which is an acronym for Roundtable of Competitive Knockouts. And we're really not here talking about nasty things. We're talking about simply looking at our competition and doing things that are better, value-added. And what we really want to do is create a better experience for the customer than our competition is doing in every way, shape, and form. And these are things that don't require money. Just as you said, it's the way we treat the customer. It's the extra little chocolate that they get on the way out of the store, or the handshake, or the value-added guarantee that we can put into our product or service. And this is really what we're talking about in the way of passionate marketing. And looking at the competition actually creates an agenda and a position for our business, because we can look at the voids.
One way also that I think is important to be competitive is to know as much as you can about your competitor.
Absolutely.
For two reasons. Number one, to know when somebody is blowing smoke on you, either the competitor or a prospect is blowing smoke on you and telling you that your competitor can do something that you know that they can't.
Right.
And also to find out if your competitor is getting ahead of you in a certain area. You've got to be able to keep up with that and pay attention to that, don't you?
You absolutely do, because the truth of the matter is we don't live in a vacuum. and the customer has lots of choices, we want the choice to be ours as opposed to someone else's business. And the only way we can ensure that is by making certain that we've studied the competition, we understand what they're doing, and we're doing a better job at getting the customer.
Absolutely. Phil, that's the last word. Thank you very much. You did a great job today. I really have enjoyed having you with us. Folks, we're talking to Phil Nauman. He's our good friend and our special guest this hour, the author of Startup Marketing, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Advertising, Marketing, and Promoting Your Business. He's also the author of 303 Marketing Tips to guaranteed to Boost Your Business. Where is that available, Phil?
Also, bookstores throughout North America and any of the online sellers.
Thanks, Phil. See you later.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.